Have you ever looked at something really small, maybe something totally commonplace today, and just wondered, does it have a secret history? A revolutionary past? We're talking about an item that, well, quite literally glued the world together. It transformed how we all connect.
Right.
Imagine just a single, unassuming piece of paper sparking a global communication revolution and igniting a passion that's lasted, what, centuries now?
Easily.
We mean, of course, the world's first adhesive postage stamp.
The penny black.
Exactly. So today we're taking a deep dive into the captivating world of philately, that's stamp collecting and study for anyone new to it.
Yeah.
And we're exploring a truly remarkable collection. We'll uncover the legendary penny black, obviously, and delve into some really astonishing highlights. They reveal such intricate stories, these tiny squares.
They really do.
This isn't just about stamps, you know, it's about innovation, it's about artistry, human connection, all of that.
And our guide for this journey today,
yeah,
it's essentially excerpts from a special catalog for the Richard Fergiola collection. And this isn't just any old group of stamps. It's a real treasure trove of Great Britain's earliest issues, the imperforate line-engraved ones of Queen Victoria.
Imperforate meaning, no perforations, right? The little holes.
Exactly. Cut with scissors back then.
Mm.
So this collection gives us a unique window, really, into the dawn of modern postal history.
And it's going up for auction soon.
Yeah, at Heinrich Koehler, Germany's oldest stamp auction house. So it's a rare chance to examine pieces that, well, they literally changed the world.
Okay, let's really unpack this then. Our mission today is to get a handle on the collector's incredible dedication, trace the birth of the iconic penny black, and then zoom in on five really significant items from this collection. Each one tells its own powerful story about how these miniature marvels came to be.
Sounds great.
So let's start with the collector. Who was the driving force behind this phenomenal assembly? Richard Fergiola. The catalog calls him a philatelist of rare discernment.
That's high praise.
It is. Someone who truly grasped that quality and rarity go hand in hand. That's a serious compliment in any collecting field, isn't it? It highlights his amazing eye and his deep understanding of their historical weight.
It absolutely is. And what really elevates his collection, or any significant philatelic collection, frankly, is something called provenance.
Provenance. Okay, explain that a bit.
Sure. In philately, provenance is basically the documented pedigree of former owners. Think of it like a stamp's biography, right? Tracing its journey from the printing press right up to today.
So it's more than just a record.
Oh, much more. It's the story that turns a simple piece of paper into an authenticated artifact with a traceable history. Its resume, if you like.
I see.
There was a renowned Great Britain specialist, Carl Louis, who kept a card index for over 35 years. It had more than 100,000 records of British stamps. Yeah. This philatelic pedigree, it acts like a quality seal, much like you'd find in the art world. It proves authenticity, the historical journey. It's a powerful idea, really, far beyond just stamps. It's about trust, investment, authentication for any collectible.
And what a rich history this collection presents. It's described as unparalleled. It's got rare proofs called imprimaturs.
Right, the first sheets.
Pulled from the very first registration sheets. But it goes way beyond that. It also includes issued imperforates, the ones without the perforations we mentioned, alongside specimen overprints. Those are stamps marked specimen, right, to stop people using them fraudulently, but they served as official examples.
Exactly, sent out to other countries sometimes.
And then there are various trials, like using fugitive ink.
Designed to run if you tried to wash off the cancellation.
Clever. And blued security paper, a special tint, and even Dickinson paper with a security thread, like in banknotes today.
Sort of, yeah. Mm-hmm. An incredibly early form of security. So the collection is this comprehensive, almost scientific look at that whole experimental phase. It shows the huge effort involved in perfecting this new system.
So these imprimaturs, what makes them so special beyond just being first?
Well, what's truly fascinating here is their critical role. These were the actual approval sheets sent to Somerset House before a plate was cleared for mass production.
Ah, okay.
A few stamps were carefully removed from these sheets, maybe for reference or official presentation. Many of those now, they're only in the Royal Collection or other major private holdings, or sadly just lost to time.
So not many were taken?
Very few. For issues before 1870, the sheets had 240 stamps, big sheets, plate numbers only on the corners. Typically fewer than 25 scans were removed per sheet. Maybe only three-corner examples, max.
Which makes the individual ones incredibly rare today.
Exactly. So beyond rarity, What insights do they give us into the process, the actual production?
That's a great question. It's like they give us a snapshot of the printer's workshop, don't they? A real-time record of the plate's condition at that specific moment.
A tangible link.
Yeah, a rare tangible link to the actual moment of creation. It's almost like an archaeological find, as you said.
Right.
Now, let's shift focus. Let's talk about the birth of this whole revolution. 1840, Sir Rowland Hill's idea becomes reality. The world's first adhesive postage stamp.
A game changer.
Totally. It's hard for us now to really grasp the impact of making letter sending simple, affordable, and universal. But this small engraved marvel just fundamentally changed global communication, bridged distances, connected lives.
Like never before. And the one penny black plates 1 to 11 from 1840, that's the icon. The first one.
The one everyone knows.
Its creation didn't just simplify mail. It sparked this enduring passion for collecting that's captivated people for nearly two centuries now. It's really the genesis of modern philately.
Yeah.
A functional item becoming art history.
But here's where it gets really interesting. Because this Fragola collection, it also has a kind of never-issued cousin to the penny black.
Ah, the VR.
Yes, the official issues, VR One Penny Black Playday. Apparently prepared before the standard penny black, but its first registration sheet happened on the very same day, April 15th, 1840.
Incredible timing.
So this VR stamp is literally the world's first postage stamp that was prepared but not issued, like a ghost from an alternate postal timeline, a what if.
And the context of its official registration is absolutely key here. Charles Pressley, he was the secretary of the stamp office back then.
Okay.
He actually endorsed the back of its very first registration sheet on April 15th, 1840. His note confirmed the impression for the one penny stamp duty.
So there's proof.
Undeniable proof.
Yeah.
That official note proves the origin of these incredibly rare VR imprimatures. Gives them huge historical significance, even though they never went into general circulation.
And VR stands for?
Victoria Regina. It was intended for official government mail. So it gives us this fascinating glimpse into the initial planning stages and maybe why it was set aside for the more universal penny black design.
Amazing. Something standard becoming such a rare footnote. Okay, let's zoom in now, as promised. Five specific pieces from this collection that really bring the history to life. They show the incredible details, the stories.
Right, let's get into the highlights.
Okay, highlight number one, Lot 303. This immediately shows the power of these historical records. It's a mashed pair of 1TT black imprimatures from plate one.
Mm.
Two individual stamps cut from the first and second imprimatur sheets of the 1D2 black plate one, dated April 15th and April 27th, 1840. So what makes this pair so significant?
Well, what's absolutely fascinating here is the difference you can actually see between the two impressions.
Okay.
The one for the first sheet, April 15th, it shows this remarkably sharp, crisp impression. That's how the plate looked before hardening.
Before they treated the plate to make it last longer.
Exactly. But the second one, pulled just 12 days later, April 27th, it shows a visibly worn impression.
Just 12 days.
Just 12 days. This pair is physical, undeniable proof of the rapid wear and tear on that printing plate in that incredibly short time. It gives you immediate insight into the challenges of early mass production.
Oh.
So this isn't just a pair of stamps. It's a magnificent historical record, a snapshot of the printing process itself. And its rarity is profound. Neighboring stamps of these very sheets, they're now in the Royal Collection or the British Museum.
That's incredible, a timeline and two tiny squares. Okay, building on the VR story, our next highlight, Lot 320, an even more specific example, the VR1D Black TA Imprimatur. Tell us about this one.
Right, this raises that important question again.
Right.
Why was this official stamp never issued?
Yeah.
Well, this particular imprimatur, it comes from the lower left corner of that before hardening sheet. So it uniquely shows the plate letter A.
Okay.
And crucially, on the back, there's an inscription with Charles Pressley's manuscript initials, CP.
His actual initials.
His actual initials, proving its origin and official status. It really is one of the most important items in the history of the invention of postage stamps.
The world's first postage stamp that was prepared but not issued.
Exactly. It's a testament to the meticulous planning and also the path ultimately abandoned. And another example from this exact sheet is in the Royal Collection that just emphasizes its immense historical importance.
Amazing glimpse into the beginnings. Okay, highlight three. Lot 323. We move to something with a wonderful human story connecting this miniature world to, well, grand exploration. Thomas McClure's Tekent Blue Ship letter strip of four.
Ah, yes.
It's a beautiful strip of four Teppan's blue stamps, plate one, canceled with those distinctive black Maltese crosses, paid the 8D rate for a ship letter. What's the story here?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
The center, Thomas McClure. He wasn't just a famous astronomer at the Royal Observatory, Cape of Good Hope.
Friend of David Livingstone, the explorer.
That's the one.
Yeah.
But he also holds this special place in the hearts of stamp collectors. Why? Because he had this habit of meticulously saving important foreign letters, often with their original stamps still attached.
Oh, fantastic.
So this particular item, it's a fantastic and eye-catching foreign destination cover, a tangible link to exploration, those early international communication networks. Mm-hmm. And get this, it's one of only three such ship letters to the Cape recorded in that Carl Luikard index we mentioned.
Only three.
And crucially, it's the only one of the three with a strip of four stamps. That makes it a truly unique artifact, brings together science, exploration, postal history, all in one envelope.
Incredible. From a human story to global influence. Our next piece, Lot 345, shows how British stamps became an international blueprint. It's a fascinating tekken, blue specimen block of eight,
right,
an unused block of eight Teppan blue stamps, plate three, each one overprinted specimen, and it still has its full original gum, unmounted, and even a sheet margin with this amazing imprint. Beck, be careful not to remove the cement.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yes, the gum. So what's fascinating here is the purpose of these specimen stamps.
Okay.
These overprinted sheets, they did them for the One Dairy Red Brown too, were deliberately sent out in 1849 to countries across Europe, like Prussia, Austria, Naples.
Why?
Because those nations were planning to issue their own first adhesive stamps. They wanted samples, models, inspiration from the British Post Office, which had pioneered it.
So Britain was exporting the idea?
Exactly. This block doesn't just show a rare double letter variety where the plate letters were accidentally stamped twice.
A nice little error for collectors.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But it also shows its critical role as a global model for postal innovation. Britain exporting an entire communication system. And some of those full sheets sent to Prussia, they're still preserved today in the National Heritage Stamp Collection of Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
Shows their international impact.
Wow. Okay, our final highlight. Two remarkable pieces that tell a story about a very special request. Proof of how quickly these stamps became historical treasures. The royal reprint of the One Jevon, black block of four, lot 370, and a One John rose red vertical pair, lot 372. Stamps printed for royalty.
Pretty much. This raises an important question about historical perception, right?
Yeah.
How quickly value was placed on these. The story is quite specific. In 1865.
Decades later.
Yes. Decades after 1840. Upon a direct request from the royal family itself, Ormond Hill, who was related to Roland Hill.
Ah, the inventor's family.
Right. He asked Perkins Bacon, the original printers, for specimens of the One Date, black and One Dane, red as they were originally issued in perforate.
So reprints, essentially, but official ones.
Exactly. Royal reprints. They were supplied with these special printings from plate 66 in both black and rose red. Now, these sheets were broken up quite early on, making individual pieces like these incredibly rare today.
And the fact the royal family wanted them.
That's the key. The fact royalty themselves desired these historical reprints decades later really highlights the immediate historical and collectible value people saw in these early stamps. They weren't just postage anymore.
And the rose red pair?
Lot 372. That vertical pair is particularly unique because it has its division ornament, the little decorative mark between stamps on the printing plate, fully preserved. That's a rarity, even among these already exclusive items.
It's just amazing detail. So bringing it all together, what does this deep dive into the Richard Fergiola collection really tell us today?
Well, I think it's a powerful reminder, isn't it, that even the smallest, most unassuming things can hold immense history.
Definitely. From that single revolutionary idea changing global communication to the meticulous dedication of collectors like Fergiola preserving these tiny works of art, every piece tells a story.
Exactly. We've seen how these stamps track technological innovation, the evolution of communication, even royal interest, and that emphasis on providence. It highlights how understanding a stamp's journey through time, its pedigree, adds so much value and deepens our connection to the history.
They really aren't just bits of paper, are they? They're vivid snapshots of a bygone era, windows into societal change, enduring testaments to human ingenuity, and just that simple, profound act of connection.
Absolutely. History isn't always in the grand monuments. It's often in these unassuming details.
Which leaves us with a final thought.
Hmm?
A provocative thought for you, the listener. What everyday items around you today, things that seem insignificant, maybe mundane, What might future collectors cherish them for? What stories might they silently tell about our time, about how we lived, connected, innovated?
That's a great question to ponder. What's the penny black of the 21st century?